Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. I have Brownie Murray. She's the founder of a really awesome dating app called The Fox Hunters Club. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to dive into dating and how crazy it is these days and how just like we met and talked yesterday and we said people used to meet in a bar. Now they're meeting on an app. And I just want to talk about the craziness of it all and how we can find our soulmates in today's times. But first, I want to hear more about you. I want everyone to know like where you came from, how you started this, and where you are today. But take us back for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back. I dipped my toes into the entrepreneur side of things a long time ago as a writer, where I was having my own blog site back in the day. I grew up in Cleveland. Shouts out to Cleveland. Had my own site back then. From there, I started writing for other folks freelancing. And then I kept getting laid off. And I said, all right, I think it's time to start my own. I started Life Entertainment News during COVID. I was able to, thankfully, save a lot of the articles that had been published on other sites. And when they shut down, all my articles were gone and all my links, I was able to import that in. Also, back in the day when I first started writing, I was doing artist management. Not a lot of folks know about that side of me. I basically started like an entertainment company with my brother, and we did promotions and marketing and got an artist shows. And that was a lot of fun, and pretty much stopped that when I moved to New York. But I have 100 ideas, 100 business ideas, as a lot of entrepreneurs can relate. There's just so much that you can do, so many things that you're good at or interested in, and you can see the marketability and profitability of different ideas and actually have the ambition to act on it and make it successful. So during COVID, a lot of time on my hands, I'm like, maybe I'll start another business. And I did. It was a dating app, coming from my own experiences of being back on apps during COVID, not finding what I was looking for. So I said, I'll build my own. That's how Fox Hunters Club was born. It is one of a kind. We are the only dating app for women interested in older men for a serious, committed relationship and not to be a sugar baby and not to have something transactional. So I'm really proud of it. And we launched last year.
I love the name of it because even when I was younger, my friends would say, I like silver foxes.
Yeah, it's sexy. You got like the salt and pepper and the beard, or maybe they're even all gray, but still fun and active and fit. You know, there's a stigma when you say older. A lot of folks will say, well, how much older are you talking? As old as you want. If you want them to be in a wheelchair, that's fine. If you want them to be like the Anna Nicole and he's like 90, that's fine. That's on you. But that's not really what I'm targeting. It's more like millennial women, Gen X and older men, maybe someone like 10 years, 15 years older. It makes such a difference for men with the maturity levels compared to men your own age. At least that has been my experience.
Yeah, it's so true. I feel like people always say older men always want a younger woman. It's pretty much true. I mean, there's, I guess, what's the word? Like, I don't know. I guess there's uniqueness with the opposite, like men liking older women, but I feel like that's rare.
It is. The cougars, as they call them. It happens. It's always like, okay, and like good for her type of thing, but definitely not as common. And I would say that when you talk to folks, it doesn't feel as natural for that for a lot of reasons, but kind of the ego, confidence, being able to provide, which is so much a part of like man's essence in a lot of ways. That shift is interesting when you have someone that's younger.
Right. No, I agree. And I don't think it's wrong, you know, with women looking for men to provide. It kind of goes back to the caveman days. But in today's time, I can tell you firsthand, it's hard to find.
It's about expectations and communication about it right up front. So in order for us to live together, this is what I expect. If we're having kids, this is what I expect. I don't want to work anymore if we're having kids. Like saying like very directly that information right up front. They right. say like the laws of attraction, like knowing what you want and being clear about it, it weeds through the mess really quickly.
I like that. I know I've read a lot about that. I have to work on it myself, but that's so true. It's just like you put it out there. What do you have to lose?
Yep, exactly. And it's fair and it's not absurd or unheard of or a strange request, and it doesn't make someone a gold digger. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important distinction with my app is that, yes, I'm not saying you have to be a sugar baby. That doesn't mean that he can't take care of you in certain ways or that you have expectations about who pays bills and things like that. That's on a relationship by relationship basis. But my point is the attraction shouldn't be because he has money. And the attraction isn't, oh, just because she's pretty. Looking for someone with substance is intentional dating. It's not just having fun because you're attracted to someone or because they have money to spend.
Exactly. Yeah, intentional dating is what it's all about. But I think people are all over the place and then they go on the apps because they can find some parts in someone and then parts in others. And then, you know, if we could, we could create the perfect man or woman, but it's extremely difficult.
Yeah, and there's a laziness to our culture now, you know, as social media has blown up, all of the dating apps, it's why take the time to go out and have to meet someone and shoot your shot and maybe get rejected? The rejection thing is a very big thing for men. A lot of women will complain. I myself have went through this. Someone will kind of look at you, they're interested, but they won't come over. And there's the intimidation thing. And you can really cut through a lot of that online. So it's kind of that laziness and just kind of scrolling and seeing who they can get. So yeah. I would like us to get back to basics. It's part of the reason that I'm focused on in-person events. That has been really at the core of Fox Hunters Club since its inception. I want people to meet up in real life, get to know each other, get comfortable asking questions and flirting and gauging someone's interest. All of that is kind of fallen by the wayside. I want to do some workshops also with women only about how to flirt. I had one of my friends reach out to me saying that, you know, she was practicing picking up guys in bars, which is a nice skill to have.
It is.
But that shouldn't be the first skill. The first skill is that looking across the room and like smiling, kind of maybe taking a sip and looking back over again. Like that's the first skill for him to come to you. And it's more natural for them to be the hunters. Fox Hunters Club is really about getting those silver foxes, us taking the power to say, I want you. But really, in person, it's nice for a woman to sit back and have the men come over to her. It's a great feeling.
It is. It's funny. My longest boyfriend was someone that just like sent me a shot across the bar. And that was, I guess, gosh, 2014, I think. But like, then the apps all came out around that time and, you know, people went crazy. But yeah, like I missed that, you know, like just meeting in person because you know right then if you have chemistry.
Exactly.
Ways to flirt are important. I think those tips are awesome. And I would love to help you with those events because I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I have so many ideas. Oof.
I know. Speaking of the entrepreneurship talk, like same with me. I mean, in all different verticals, like I'm always like, and I talk to my different clients and I'm like, we can do this, we can do that. And it's like, it's true. You get so excited about so many options. And that's the beauty of what we do because we're creators of what we want. So it's exciting.
It is. I was thinking about this earlier today. If Fox Hunters, let's say I sold it, got acquired, I'm no longer running it. I honestly would be like, okay, I'm going to move to the next project. I probably have, you know, 3-4 projects half finished or half baked in my mind. It's in me. That entrepreneurship is in me. Even if I was at a point where I didn't need to work, no 9-to-5, had just complete. And I've actually went a couple of years without a 9-to-5 when I was living with someone when I first moved to New York. But I still hustled. I was still out making money and like having like kind of side jobs and projects that were fun and on my own schedule, but always doing something.
Right. I'm the same way. Like even if I had kids one day or something, like I always want to be, even if I was working at home, you know, just doing something, being active, helping people.
Exactly. It's really what life is about. Like even if, let's say you're really, really to a point where you don't have to lift a finger anymore and maybe like maybe the hustle side has died down. You still volunteer like philanthropy and like do more charity work. And I remember one of my friends who's making really good money was saying, it was something ridiculous he wanted to spend it on. He's like, well, you know, what else is there to do with it? Help other people. That's right. When you give back. Right. So yeah, it's either in you or it's not. I'll put it that way.
It is. Yeah. Giving and growing is something that I think makes me excited. But like you said, it's either in you or you're not. Some people are just like, hell no, that's my money.
Exactly. Blow it on stupid things or just, you know, ridiculousness, toys. And
oh gosh. So, yeah. So wait, let's go back to dating. What kind of requests do you get on your app? Do men and women ask you questions or ask, you know, support questions?
Yes. And it's great that folks know and folks who don't know are finding out now that if you reach out, it is me you're talking to. So if you send a DM on one of the social pages, I'm going to respond. If you send an email, it's me. If you go to my website and fill out the web form, that's me, the contact form that's on there. My phone number pops up some places, like privacy policy and things like that. It's my business line. Feel free to call. So I do have that open dialogue back and forth with the users, which has been great. And finding out what they're liking or if there's something buggy. I've had users reach out like, hey, I'm in this city or this state. And when are you coming here? That's probably the number one thing that I get is a request to launch in their area. Right now, we launched in New York City. We expanded throughout Jersey. And Greater Philadelphia is our most recent market. And that's it. I haven't done promotion anywhere else. I haven't targeted folks in ads in other locations. Somehow they are finding out. I'm grateful for it. But that's probably the number one thing that people reach out about. When are you coming to Tampa? When are you coming to Boston, Canada, Africa? I said, girl, it's going to be a long time before I get to Africa. I'm not even going to hold you. I appreciate you signing up. It's going to be years upon years if I, you know, get that far. Yeah.
Unless you eventually do live and virtual events, then it's possible.
True. Oh, it's overwhelming to think about.
I know.
I've enjoyed keeping it hyper-local and going market by market. But some advice I did receive before I launched, they were saying just go everywhere at once. I'm glad I didn't take that advice, but that is an approach that some apps have done. Varying success.
I agree. And you're in New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia now. And what markets next do you think that you're going to go to?
I don't know. I'd never considered Boston until people started reaching out about Boston. I did a Sirius FM podcast, Karen Hunter Show, shout out to her. And people were saying, go to Boston next. Because I told Karen that it was going to be DC and I was going to keep going south. And they said, don't forget about the New England states. And I was like, huh, didn't occur. So I reached out to some folks on the ground there to see what the scene is like. I'll do some more research and see if it's a market that I want to spend time and money on going that direction. But I know DC is going to blow up. So that's also kind of like I know that when I get there, it's like a no-brainer. Do I want to do a little bit more footwork and hit New England states first? Because once I go the other direction, when will I circle back? I'll probably end up going west after I go south. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I want to pitch you in DC. I think you'll be so successful.
Oh, yeah.
Here, but there.
Oh, yeah. There's already a number of people who have signed up in DC, subscribed in DC. And also my friends, they're spreading the word. And the word of mouth really has been really great for me. Thank you to all who have supported thus far.
So talk about your setbacks to making an app. It can't be easy.
No, none of it. None of it is. And it's always something. So when you think about something that is tech based and you're dealing with the App Store and you're dealing with the Google Play Store. If you haven't been a developer, you don't. And this is my first time being in that, you know, space. All of the requirements that come out that aren't just easy. Oh, just update some code, like entire changes. And they give you a deadline and you must hit this by this date or we're going to take your app down. So it's this urgency around all of these messages that they send out. And of course, you have to stay on top of it. So that has been stressful. When things aren't working, I myself am not a software engineer. I don't know how to go in and fix it. So I'm on someone else's time, my developer's time, and they're overseas. And so it's kind of like a 12-hour difference where I'm like, hey, can you look into this? They've been great. Absolutely, they have been great. And they've been up late at night with me, late at night for them, regular time for us, helping me. But those things are so stressful when I can't control the situation it's like the anxiety kicks in. I start overthinking. So I've really had to work on my letting go. If it's something I can't control, I can't control it. I will do my best, and that's the best that I can do. So it's kind of that, all right, just take a breath. It's not the end of the world, even though it feels that way. So that has been something that has set me back weeks or months at a time, has been technical issues from the point of having to rebuild at one point. I was using a totally different system and like started from scratch. So all of that, very stressful.
Right. And it's a lot of time and a lot of money.
Yes, it is expensive.
And it changes. The software changes over time.
Oh, yeah. We had to do another update. I want to say about 2 years ago, which was basically like a rebuild. Luckily, I didn't have to shut down in the meantime. I was able to, you know, keep the app up. But those updates, and think about how often you have, you know, however many apps on your phone, every time you get an update, like a new version or some new feature or something, that is like hours and hours and hours of work and lots of money.
Right. My gosh. So what's the future of Fox Hunters? You said live in-person events.
Yeah.
Any other premium ideas for the app?
Absolutely. So product roadmap, we're going to have video calling. I'll probably roll that out to premium users first, just because of the cost of having that feature. So if you're a premium user at this amount, you'll be able to have that video calling. Also, the like a voice message type of feature, where like an audio note, I guess, where folks can like leave their voice on their profile and talk about themselves. And you can kind of glean some things, I guess, from people's voice, or maybe if you're even attracted to their voice.
Yes,
I've gone on dates. I hate. So maybe the accents.
I've gone on dates and they open their mouth and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I instantly didn't like them. So I feel like voice is huge.
I have had chats that went well, exchange numbers, excuse me. And then the phone call, the voice, I said, oh, I'm out. Same. I don't even want to meet you.
I was so excited by it. This is probably in COVID, like the looks, everything.
Yep.
I called. I was like, is this the same person?
Yep. So yeah, voice is important. The more that I think about it. Yeah. I will add that feature. That's on the roadmap. Some other things are coming. So I'm not a big fan of the AI. The only thing that attracted me to it was maybe content moderation, making sure people aren't bots or spammy or sending inappropriate things, you know, that I need to ban you for. Those are things that maybe like AI could help me, basically, because I don't have like a customer success team. I don't like the idea of AI telling you what to say and like prompting you and basically changing things. It should be your personality and it should be helping the other person learn about you, but they're talking to a bot.
Right.
So I don't think I'll be going that direction. I played around with the idea of maybe being able to send gifts or tokens or something, you know, within the app. But then I'm like, oh, that's kind of like sugarish. So I kind of backed away from there. So I would say the things really on the radar, the video calling and the audio messaging. What's it called? Like a audio note?
A voice text or something.
Yeah. That's coming up.
That reminds me, like people listening might not know what the sugar daddy, sugar baby reference is.
Okay.
Fill them in.
Unfortunately, that's kind of like the default that people assume if there's an age difference that's significant, that he is taking care of her financially. And it goes the other way with sugar mamas. If an older woman is with the younger guy, the assumption for a lot of folks, unfortunately, is, oh, she's taking care of, she's paying his bills. She bought him a car. She, you know, whatever the case. And it's unfortunate that that is the stigma. It's right. Really like an American culture thing, if you think about it, just from like the things we see in movies and TV. That's what's been put in front of us. Other cultures, not so much. More if you think about traditional values and you think about maybe a man expected to be the provider and be the breadwinner. And the woman may be expected to be more of the homemaker and take care of kids. it kind of makes sense that there would be an age gap there. Because at what age would a man have money to take care of a family if her primary is taking care of the home? So, I mean, all of that tracks, but somehow in American culture was like, oh, if he's older, then you must not be working. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Or if he's older, he must be rich. Where would a pot of money fall from? And then most people aren't rich.
Right, most people aren't. That's correct.
Just because, I said this at the dating conference in the spring, the Global Dating Conference, which is great. Shout out to Global Dating Insights. Do people think that a man turns like 45 and he just gets like a dump of money in his bank account or something? So it is not that he's older, so he has money. That's not necessarily true. Yes. Younger people have money. Older folks have no money. It's like all over the place.
Yeah.
But the sugar relationship is that transaction. My time is for sale. Your time with me, here's the price for it. Really, very escortish, no shade, sex workers work. Right. But that is what the sugar relationship is, paying for your time. Purses, yeah. Trips, bills paid, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, I've heard of guys that have done it. I mean, they'll say it's not fulfilling, but they obviously do it for their own needs.
Fulfilling in a way.
Right.
Right? Sexually fulfilling or getting attention or having a companion and girlfriend experience, but at the end of the day, that person is with you for one reason. That doesn't feel good. That can't feel good. Okay. I think of that as a hustle. That's why I really say, like, no shade. Like, girl, if you can find a man who will just pay your bills and you like spending time with them, and what I mean, there's worse things. There's ways to make money. But I think of that as a hustle. Like, are you gonna do that long term? Like, is he gonna marry you and keep doing that? Like, what's the plan here?
Exactly.
Time's ticking.
I know. For us women, it's so true. Like, our clocks run out. And I don't know if I told you this, but I heard on a podcast like a week or two ago that like there's so much pressure on a woman in her age, but like guys don't have any. And like the best way
to
hear it is like, what if guys had to get all of their success by 40? Then they would understand how we feel. Like they only had till 40 to do it.
Yep.
You know?
Pressure.
And that was a great comparison because guys are just like, I can be 65 and have a child and keep dating.
Exactly. And can. And if they're doing well, they could get someone younger that's like able to still have kids and still want that and all of that.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. We don't have that luxury as women. I dated someone for too long who was generous, but also fun. I actually liked and loved him a lot, like as a person and things like that. But it wasn't progressing. We were never going to get married. We were never, you know, going to have anything, maybe live together as like a, you know, cohabitation situation. But like, that wasn't enough for me. So at one point I say, okay, I'm done. Until it's the situation that I want, I'm not giving someone that much of me.
Good for you.
It was tough.
He still chased you. It is tough.
Yeah. You know, a lot of back and forth. And, you know, he finally had to just cut it off.
And then to give women advice, you tell them on the first date to just be like, say what you want up front.
Even before that, before you give out your number. So if you're on an app situation, I'm asking those questions in the chat. I've talked to a lot of women about this and men actually. And I've learned that folks don't really do that. It's kind of like a general, you know, oh, what do you do? And where do you live? And like, oh, let's get coffee. Like I'm asking like, do you want to get married? Do you want kids? You know, those type of like heavy kind of, for me, deal breaker questions. Because if he says, well, you know, I've been married before and you know, I don't really want to do it again. I'm just looking for like a partner. No, thanks.
Exactly.
Or for myself, I don't want kids. So if he tells me like, yeah, I would like kids in the future, not a match. I'm not going to waste your time. Don't waste my time. So I would say even before, and I know this is probably even weirder. I'm the same way in person. Like if I meet a guy at a bar, when I was single, obviously, when I would meet a guy at a bar and we're chit-chatting and he's like, oh, let me just get your number. I don't really give my number out to like anybody. Like, what are you looking for? I'll ask that in person, which I think for a lot of folks would be awkward. Just part of my very open, blunt personality. Cut to the chase right away. If it's the first date, that's fine too. But don't let it be months down the road. I was watching some TV show. They were already married and they were talking to a counselor about kids. Like, she didn't want kids and he wanted kids. I'm like, y'all didn't find this out before you got married?
I know. That's my problem. I stay way too long.
No, we don't have the time. We don't have the time. And I think that we should, as a culture, get more comfortable asking these things and expressing how we feel. I used to lie about the kid thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
I used to say, well, you know, I'll talk about that with my husband. That's how I would put it. So I didn't say up front, I don't want kids. I would kind of say, well, my husband and I will talk about that. So basically, are we getting married? Like, is this why you're asking? Like, that kind of thing. Which, of course, the men were like, I'm not sure. But the older I got, more confident that I got, the more assured that I did not want kids, I was able to just be flat out about it. And for older men, it kind of works out. They probably have kids anyway. So it was more like a stepmom situation that probably would have been coming my way.
Exactly. Well, you'd be a great stepmom. I think
I would have. I've written whole like blogs about this.
Oh, you have? Yeah. I've got to look at them on the entertainment site.
No, it was like a personal blog I had back in the day. I don't even know if I still have those articles up, but I just knew I was going to be a stepmom. Like, everybody had at least one kid that I was dating. I looked out, my fiance doesn't have any kids, and I'm grateful for it, but I was prepared to be a step. I would have been a great stepmom.
Yeah.
Absolutely great.
I know. I get it. I love kids. I think you should write a book, especially like to give tips like this, because I think we all need it.
That's one of my like 100 ideas. It's so much. I get asked for advice a lot. Part of it is my personality, because I'm just very like open and blunt, and I'll like share personal stories. People open up to me. So part of it is that. Also, I'm very opinionated. I had a, you know, podcast for years, very free with giving my opinion and, you know, backing it up. So I think that's part of it too. And I'm going to keep it real. So yeah, I would like to have more ways of telling folks what I think, which sounds so like, I like sharing and I like hearing and I like learning, and people ask me my opinion. I'm happy to give it. There's a lot, even that, I don't know if you saw on social media, there's a thing now, the rapper Gucci Mane, his wife is saying, all he has to do is his music thing and shower. And I pay the bills and I buy his clothes. And like she said, she literally does everything. She said, he needs me. Like, I have a lot to say on this topic. And I would love to have forums where we as women can just say, what do you think about this? Or even bring the men in into that side. Like, I can see the essence of what she's saying, the literalness.
If he gives money, I would assume.
I assume.
Yes. If he gives her money, I think people would be like, what is she doing? She's a fool. But if it's his.
I assume. And the way she was talking about it, it very much seemed that way. But I know she has her own businesses and things like that. Like, she's not, you know, housewife. And she has kids and things like that too. But I know that she had like some lines of different products and things like that. But I assume she was talking about his money.
Yeah.
But yeah, just something like that. I would love to just chit chat with folks about, and whether that's, I'm not going to do another podcast, but something where I get to chat more, maybe bring the ladies together more, have like a brown bag and just talk about it.
That leads me to another question. So I'm sure you're familiar. I don't know her username. My friends send me videos of her all the time. And I know you're not going to know who she is when I say it. And I don't know how I feel about her advice, but I want to know how you feel about her advice. The woman that says sprinkle, sprinkle all the time.
Do you know her? Says what?
Sprinkle, sprinkle. So she's on TikTok and Instagram. I thought you would know instantly.
No.
And she'll just be like, women, like, you're dating a loser if he doesn't want to provide. And, you know, forget the time to heal and move on. Just move on to the next one that can provide. I mean, she probably has millions of followers. I can find her and send it to you. I just thought you would know. And then at the end of everything, she goes, sprinkle, sprinkle.
What's being sprinkled?
I guess it's her way to be like, this is my advice. She's very confident. She's very sure of herself. And she just says at the end in her like, you know, sassy way, like sprinkle, sprinkle. And then she's out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's expected for most people that the man should provide, but what does that mean? You know what I mean? That's the conversation, communication. Does that mean the woman doesn't work?
Right.
Does that mean that he has to make more than you, like be the breadwinner? Does it mean he has to, even if you do work, does he have to pay all of the bills? So, I mean, that all of that is a conversation between two folks. But I think the general idea that a man should provide is, I'm not going to say universal, but that's pretty widespread. Not controversial.
Right. No, not at all. I'm with you all the way. And I'll send you those videos after this podcast. But yeah, I think we should also tease to let everyone know that we're going to have like in-person events soon. And that's going to be really fun. So people can sign up for the app, meet people in person as well. Do you plan to push it out on the app, these upcoming events?
I am debating if I want to have non-members also invited for the next event, which will be in the Philly area, probably looking to do that maybe early fall, late summer. So definitely keep an eye out on the socials for that. But I'm thinking maybe an incentive for members, but also an opportunity for non-members to mingle. I'll give it some more thought. But definitely, if you are in the New Jersey, New York, Greater Philly area, and this interests you, if this is your target, like I like older men, I like younger women, but I'm also looking for something of substance, sign up for the Fox Hunters Club. If you're already in a relationship or maybe it's not really your vibe, share the word. I know that you know someone that would be interested in Fox Hunters Club.
And Brownie, if people want to reach out, can they reach out to you and where can they find you?
Please do reach out. So it's Fox Hunters Club on socials, Hunters with an S. My email is info@foxhuntersclub.com if you want to reach me that way. And it's Brownie Marie on socials. If you Google that, my sites will come up across socials.
And one other question. I want to go back to entrepreneurship. What kind of advice do you get for entrepreneurs like yourself? Like you seem to have the hustle, have always wanted it, but people out there may be fearful or, you know, just afraid of living without a net, so to speak. So what kind of advice would you give, being that you've been doing this a while?
If it's something that you can't stop thinking about, you have to at least go for it. You have to. That's my perspective. Otherwise, it's just regret and what could have been. I was speaking with someone yesterday. Was it yesterday or earlier this week? Doesn't matter. His wife had like an invention idea and never did anything with it. And of course, it blew up. Someone else had a dating app idea. It was like a gay dating before it was a thing, like 90s, you know, it wasn't like as popular as it is now and widespread. And she had a different spin on it that she was going to put. Never did anything with it. Grindr is blown up, 100 other, you know, gay dating sites. Right. If it's something you can't stop thinking about, act on it, vet it. Is it a good idea? Can it make money? Is it going to be too time consuming? Can you pull it off? Has it been done? Even if it has been done, can you do it better or put a spin? Look into all of that before you say, I'm too old or I don't have time or whatever the case. You will regret. For me, one of the worst things is living with regret.
Sprinkle, sprinkle. No,
I have to look into this. That's cute, though. It's like a nice branding thing for her.
Sprinkle, yeah, it sprinkle. Is. And it's great because you're great. Like, even if I clipped this podcast into different videos, you're awesome for it. But, no, I'm so with you because, I mean, I don't think you're ever too old.
Right.
You'd regret when we're dying or on the way to dying. Like, why didn't I do more of this? We're only here once.
You still have time. You still have time. Don't give up.
Well, thank you so much, Brownie. And I had so much fun. I can't wait to work with you and do numerous events. And yeah, we'll see. Hopefully I'll find my husband.
Hey, man, we're going to work on it. We'll have a one-on-one. We'll do a one-on-one consultation on that one.
Thank you so much for being on Live Without a Debt.
Thanks, Jen.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram @JenniferSherlock or my business Instagram @JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.